And again, it comes from three places in the Scripture. It's all the same story. And I chose to go to the book of Mark, and it just gripped me that I was doing the reading on it. I said, well, I might as well do a sermon on this, just because what manner of man is this? And again, if you look at the whole story, we'll tell the story. But I mean, you're in a boat with a man that talks to the wind, and it listens. And then he talks to the sea, and it stops. Well, what else is there to say? You know, is there anything this man cannot do? Again, some of the things I talk about, I remember I heard it first from Pastor Mark, my assistant pastor in Massachusetts. I heard it from him first. But he said, when you're up against water, water wins. I just remember him saying that. Now, we live near the ocean. And again, he was part Portuguese, and the Portuguese people do a lot of sailing and fishing up around that part. But he said, when you're up against water, it wins. Okay? But here's a man that cannot defeat. And again, I was even getting up this morning, looked at a little bit of the weather forecast. I don't think it's coming this way, but south of us, coming out of Ohio down into West Virginia, don't they have a big area today? Hail, high winds, tornadoes possible. Okay? That's today. Looks like it's going to go south of us or whatever. But have you ever seen tornadoes go through and what they do? Okay? A place that I rode my motorcycle to a couple times. I used to go up the Kinzua Bridge. Anybody here ever been to Kinzua Bridge? Yeah. Pretty neat thing. It's gone. Okay? It's gone. Tornado came through. It's gone. All right? As neat as it was to go out and walk on it or whatever, it's gone. Big windstorm came. What manner of man is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him. Again, we're talking about Jesus today. I called it a puff on a pond. I thought it made sense there or whatever. Again, God sent that storm, I do believe, so that the men in the boat could learn who was in the boat with them and learn more about him. So I just called it God just puffed and created a storm, and so that they would go ahead and learn more. And again, give you the principle right up front. Storms are not sent to destroy you, but develop you. Not destroy, develop. And make us stronger. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we need developed. We need to be stronger. Lord, we need to be able to stand again in your strength, as we already heard from the young people who give testimony. Lord, that you and God make a majority. And Lord, I pray that we'll learn that anybody who has God on their side is already won. Lord, make us stronger. But when we ask for the patience, we ask for that strength. We've already memorized verses this year that tribulation comes when we do that. But Lord, through the tribulation, you'll be with us, and we'll come out stronger on the other side. Teach us great principles, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I just want to do something very quick with Mark chapter 4. But again, the chapter starts out with Jesus, again, having to go into a boat to avoid the crowd. Now, if you go to Mark chapter 3 and verse 9, there, he told his disciples, go get a ship or a boat ready, because the crowd is pushing me so hard and getting near me that I feel they're going to push me into the sea. So get a boat ready. But in chapter 3, they didn't need the boat. Okay, he taught them, but then later he goes up and does some ministry. And then he comes back, and I'm sure the same thing was decided. You better get a boat ready. And this time in Mark chapter 4, they had to use the boat. Again, the crowd thronged him or pressed him so hard that he had to go out into the boat. And if you look at chapter 4, verse 1, he entered into a ship and sat on the sea, and the whole multitude was by him on the land. So again, he's out there. And I thought I'd go ahead and find this. I got some pictures for you. Children like pictures. Do you like pictures? I love pictures. It just makes things a whole lot easier. And there's the people on the side there, and on the side of the sea. And Jesus went out into the boat and taught them. Okay, he taught them. Again, three things basically he taught them. The first story was, a sower went forth to sow. Now, if I've got this right, I think I do. Again, I like this picture because I think you see some rocky ground. There is a footpath here. It looks like there's thorns and thistles in the two places. And there's also good ground. So this picture gives you three places. I think you can see it also. There's the thorns, the good ground, the rocks. Okay, there's the wayside there. There's the birds that come and take the seed. And if you study this, and I'm not preaching on this, but there's a man sowing, throwing it out there, and it lands on four different types of soil. Again, just very quickly, I found this picture to put up there for you. Again, some fell along the path. I'm reading from the top to the bottom so you can follow it. Again, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds of the air ate it up. Okay. Some fell on rocks. The plants withered because they had no depth of root, no moisture there. Other seed fell among the thorns. Again, the thorns grew up and they choked the plants. But other seed fell on the good soil and it yielded a crop, some 30, some 60. Some 100. Again, more commentary here. You can see the man throws, and again, that on the shore, that falls on the path. Again, the devil comes, the evil one, and catches the word. And I hope that doesn't happen this morning. That we've got the Bible open in front of us. You can read what I'm saying here. There's verses there, and you know what? The devil is just distracting you, and you're not hearing anything. I hope that's not happening this morning. Again, others then fell on the stones. And in the stone, it didn't have depth of soil, so it didn't have a good root system. And then when the sun came up, it withered away. And again, some Christians are like that. They hear the word of God. They want to do what they heard. They're excited. But you know what? They just don't have the depth of root. They just don't have the foundation to continue when life gets hard then. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grow up and choke it. And again, you can see there that sometimes our cares of the world, just the pressures of this world, again, they choke us out. And other things become more important in our lives than our Savior does. And finally, last of all, some falls in prepared soil. And again, it yields a big crop, 30, 60, 100 fold. I always think of corn. Anybody had corn yet? Anybody had corn? Yeah, I was down the other day, came back from Bellefonte. There was a lady along the road selling some corn. And I just pulled in and said, you know, I'm hungry from corn. I wasn't hungry until I saw you, but now I'm hungry for corn. So I bought some corn. I don't know. I was going to preach this, and I was thinking about, I should sit and count how many kernels of corn are on an ear. And then I said, I got better things to do. Okay? Now, if you have nothing to do sometime, count some ears of corn and how many kernels on each one. Call me up or text me and tell Pastor, next time you preach, I got a number for you. And I'll preach that number. I'll give you that number. But for me, I think there's more than 30. What do you think? I think there's more than 60. How many of you think there's more than 100? I think there is. Okay? I think there's a lot there. I know at God's Golden Sermon today, Gail, you made corn on the cob. And you cut them into small pieces. I just want to say that because when I eat a lot, I don't think I really ate that much because you cut them into such small pieces. So I did eat a lot. It was really good. But again, maybe on one of the pieces she had, it had 60 or 100 on it. I think there was more than 30. But again, it's not the word of the God. It's not the seed that's the problem. It's the heart that it falls on is what Jesus was telling these people. And as he was preaching to this crowd, he was trying to tell you, some of you are listening to what I have to say, and you're going to do it, and it's going to produce a great life. Some of you, not going to do well. Not a problem with the seed, not a problem with the word of God. It's a problem with the heart that it falls on. And then Jesus talked about don't light a light or a candle, as we would call it, and do what with it? Put it under a bushel. Okay? Put it up on a lampstand where it gives light to the whole house. And he's talking about it as Christians. Come on. Don't hide your light. Talk to people about Jesus. I guess I want to tell you this. I hope it's an encouragement to you. Again, but as I've been talking to people about Jesus and witnessing, I haven't had a bad one for a long time. In fact, one of the things that's encouraged me as I've been talking to different people in different situations where God has put me, I've found a lot of Christians. Well, I go over and, you know, I'm sitting there and somebody's over there and God just says, what about that person? Okay. So I'll just go over and start up a conversation. You know I have trouble doing that, okay? I really have trouble talking to people, okay? But I tell you, I go over and start up a conversation and find out that God wanted me to talk to them for another reason than just to find out if they knew the Lord. Because they had something to offer us, okay? Or they had something that was a blessing to me. And so, again, I'm not here to tell you, go shine your light and the world's going to try to blow it out. I've been trying to tell people about Jesus and got a lot of people that are thanking me for it and glad I'm doing that and, you know, said they're going to think about what I've said. It's been encouraging. So, again, if you've been telling people about Jesus and getting a tough time, I'm sorry, but don't quit. But I've not found that lately. I've found some very good reception talking to people about the Bible. He also talked about seed. And basically, as you go down through this, he's talking about seed. And, you know, a farmer plants seed. But you know what? A farmer has no idea what's going on inside his little seeds. Do you know? I tell people, it just looks like a little bit of matter. It just looks like some matter to me, okay? But in that matter is huge designs for what it's going to become. Now, this is how I think Jesus is telling us. You may not understand the power and the working of the Word of God. And don't think until I understand that then I'll start telling people about it. You may not understand all about the Bible. You may not know everything. Give it out anyway. Because you know what? When you just start putting those seeds in the ground, somebody tell me what happens. Things grow. How did it change from that little seed to that huge field? I don't know. Farmer didn't know, but he knew, give it out. Good things will happen. And so again, throw the seed out there. We may not understand everything, but the power of God, it'll grow. Again, the last thing he talked about, and again, this is the best picture I could come up with, that's a mustard seed. That's a mustard seed. Now, I tell people, that's pretty small, is it not? That's pretty small, but you know what? When you plant the mustard seed, Jesus said it'll grow into a huge tree. Now, I'm not sure that it's the mustard that we're used to seeing in fields, but again, this seed here, it'll produce a huge tree, and the birds come and find a home in it. And again, throw the seed out, no matter how small you think it is. Okay? I mean, I tell people, if you had a little seed and you could put it between your fingers, as we just had on the picture, you might look at that and say, what? What can that do? What can that do? But you know what? You throw it out there. And next thing you know, you have a what? You got a tree. The Word of God is that seed. Don't look at the Word of God and say, what can that do? Maybe there's somebody sitting near you, walking near you. Maybe there's somebody occupying somewhere around you. They just need you to give them a Bible verse. And you might say, well, what can that do? Just little. It's amazing what God's Word can do. Throw it out there. Throw it out there. When Jesus is done teaching, he said, all right, let's launch out. We're going to the other side. Okay? We're going to go to the other side. Again, you know the story. This is the part that was just read to you. Again, why they were out in the midst of the sea, what happened? The wind came up. Again, the sea came up. I was kind of looking at some things and reading about the Sea of Galilee. It's not the lowest spot on the earth. Just south of it is the lowest spot on the earth. But it's like 628 feet or something like that, 700 feet below sea level, which basically means the high ground around it, when the winds start blowing, when the sun comes up, when things start heating and cooling, again, air is going to do what? Charge down into that low spot. And so here it is. It's a good day. Things are looking good. But some cool air is found, and it's going to charge itself down into that great depth there at the Sea of Galilee. And again, though when they left, it looked like a good day, okay, well, maybe a good night, all of a sudden it rolled up in there. I did some reading and had one merchant say that most of the storms on the Sea of Galilee happen during the day. The night is usually the good time to go across. So when these men were told by Jesus, let's go across the other side, it's almost nighttime, they were probably thinking what? That's usually pretty safe at night. Okay, pretty safe. That's a good time to do it. But sure enough, the storm came up and caught them by surprise. Again, Jesus was sleeping. You can kind of see, I think you can kind of see him there, can you not? Again, maybe that's him back here, and he's sleeping there, and they go back and wake him up and say, you know, don't you care that we're going to die? Don't you care? No one ever cared for me like Jesus. I hope we understand that. And they woke him up, and again, he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and the Bible says that there was a great calm. That picture, I like that, because there's one thing that we need to know, is that that was not the only boat that was traveling across that night. Okay? And they all found the serenity of the calmness there. Peace, be still. Again, peace, be still. I want to look at the story and give us some principles if I can do that. Again, I got 3 points here. Again, I think they're alliterated fairly well today. But again, it was a storm of great danger. A great danger. I believe what happened here is we have seasoned fishermen that probably looked at disciples who weren't used to being on the sea, and they didn't say, it's okay. We've been out in storms like this before. We know what to do. We'll be okay. I guarantee you that when Matthew the tax collector looked at Peter the fisherman and said to Peter, Peter, are we okay? Peter said what? No. We're not sure we're going to make it. Okay? Now, how about you? If you're with somebody who's experienced at something, when they give you the word, it's okay, how do you feel? Yep. Okay. And I really believe that Peter, James, and John, Again, maybe Andrew, when they all asked, hey, you guys are good with this? You know what to do? They maybe said something like, we've never been in one in this bad. Again, this is really bad. Okay? It's really bad. Again, I wrote down here, as Jesus and his men sailed across the Sea of Galilee that night, they found themselves engulfed in a terrible storm. Okay? And again, what I want to do is just kind of look at this storm and pull out some lessons. First of all, the suddenness of the storm. Okay? They didn't see it coming. I always wonder something like this. This is me thinking, but we have things now that I have never seen when I was young. I don't ever remember turning on TV and seeing satellite radar and finding out where the storms were and how they were coming upon us. Anybody remember that when you were a kid? When you were a kid, it either rained or it didn't. You didn't know where it was raining. You didn't know anything. If the guy got up and said, you know what, it's probably going to be a nice day. Now watch this. We used to make fun of weather forecasters a lot when we were young. And I tell people, you know what? It was a good profession to have because you never got nailed for anything. Probability. Maybe. Okay? I remember Curtis one time said to me, one time when a weather forecaster said, there's a 50% chance of rain, he's right. He's right. So if you want a job that, you know, you can just say, hey, I was wrong, but, you know, probably maybe. Can I tell you something, though? I do believe in days now. They're a lot more accurate than they ever were when I was a kid because we used to laugh at them. Probabilities and maybe and there's a chance and who knows. And you know what? When we were at my house the other day, somebody remember that? Okay. What did it do when we were there? It rained. Okay. And it was funny because somebody opened up a phone and said, 11 minutes till the rain hits. 11 minutes. Can I tell you what happened? In 11 minutes, it started raining. Then they showed me the phone and said, Pastor, you don't want to see this. It's not going to stop for 120 minutes. That's what they said on the phone. It will not be over for 120 minutes. Was that Jen? Was that you that showed that to me? Yeah. And so I didn't tell the people, it's a passing shower. It'll be over in a minute. Because the phone said it's going to rain for the next 120 minutes. Can I tell you what it did for 120 minutes? It rained. Can I tell you when it stopped? It basically stopped at the end of the 120 minutes. Amazing. Okay. I said all that to say this. If these guys would have checked the radar, I don't think this storm was on the radar. I don't think it was on the radar. God brought this one in. Again, there was a suddenness of the storm. Again, there arose a great storm of wind. Looked good. It was nighttime. Things were going good. Okay. Again, the sea can be calm one minute and violent the next. And that's what happened to them on the sea there. Again, and this storms, they usually don't happen at night, but this one did. Okay. These men did not set out in a storm. They did not expect one either, but the storm came anyway. Again, what about our lives? Okay. What about our lives? I can put it this way. One day or one minute, you're enjoying fair weather. The next, you find yourself in the middle of a terrible, horrific storm. Has anything ever changed your life? I kind of wrote these things down. You can do this. One phone call, one 24-hour period of time, one doctor's visit, one tick of the clock, and there you are in the storm of your life. Everything looked good, and it all changed in one second. Again, the suddenness of the storm, it comes up very big and hits us. Again, these men didn't see it coming, but it came anyway. Not a whole lot of preparation you can do for a storm like this, okay? But what they needed, they had. So the suddenness of the storm. Let's go on to the next thing. What about the severity of the storm? It says there that the boat, okay, was being filled with water there. Again, the ship was now full. Now, I got a question for you. Full of what? Water. What usually happens to boats when they fill with water? They go down. Or they just kind of stay on the surface. I know that we had a canoe that basically said if you fill it with water, it'll just stay there or whatever. That's not good enough for me. I want to be up here, okay? I want to be up here or whatever. But these seasoned fishermen, they're frightened by the severity of this storm. I mean, you look at Peter, and he's got terror written on his face. You are Matthew the tax collector. You're realizing, this is bad. This is really bad. When even he's got that written all over him. And I've been in different situations where I'm a little scared. I look at somebody else, and they're not. Okay? They're not. Because they said, oh, we've been through this before. We know how to handle it. We'll be all right. Just take it easy. We'll do all right. But again, these men were seasoned fishermen, and they were scared. They knew they were going down. This is it. We're going down here. I just kind of put down here the severity of the storm. There are storms of suffering. Okay? And we get hit by storms of suffering. Whether it's, again, a sickness, disease, or whatever, there are things that come upon us. And again, it hurts. It's bad. I wish we could be healthy all of our lives. I'm glad I'm going to heaven and we'll be healthy for eternity, don't you? But you know what? It's not always that way. We get hit with suffering. And some of you right now, you're suffering right now. I know you are. Sean Meyer's not here, and I tell people I make the habit of talking about people when you're not here or whatever. But he's got Lyme's disease right now. He's taking medicine. And I was kind of asking him, hey, how's it hitting you? How you doing it? And he said, Pastor, I've never had anything like this before. People tell me things. I can't even remember what they said. I don't even know what's going on. He said, I get confused really easy. Folks, that's not fun, is it? Okay? That's not fun. I've heard of people with Lyme disease that get in a car to go somewhere, and halfway there, they're like, where am I going and where am I? Okay? But he's got to tell people, pray for Sean. He's got the medicine now. And again, but some suffer. Again, we pray for people with cancer. We've got a cancer list there. There's hardly anybody in this church that's not touched by cancer. Am I right about that? I know. I just lost a cousin. What was it, a week ago? Just lost a cousin a week ago to cancer. Again, it's pretty tough, is it not? Again, one day everything's fine. No problems. One doctor's visit and what? Changes everything, does it not? Again, there's storms of sorrow. There's storms of sorrow. I mainly mean here that loved ones, again, are taken. Our loved ones go home. We don't have them anymore. Okay? It's tough. I tell people this. How many of you have ever been ready when somebody's gone home? You're never ready. You're never ready. Sometimes we have advanced notice. Am I right about that? But you're never ready. It hurts. And it hurts really bad, does it not? Again, there are storms of sorrow that hit us there. Again, there's storms of sin. We're sinners. And sometimes we just do things and sometimes we pick our sin, but we don't realize you can't pick the consequences of it, can you? And sometimes there's just tough things that happen. And it's very hard. I praise the Lord that I have a Savior who died to save me from my sin problem, aren't you, though? Because otherwise, the severity of the storm of sin would last eternity in a lake of fire. But He's died for me on the cross, and yeah, I sin, and there's consequences to it. But in the long run, for eternity, Jesus is taking care of me. And I praise Him for that. But again, still in this world, we run into storms that are very severe upon us. Again, the storms of sin. There's another storm in the Bible that was caused by sin. I'll give it to you this way. God said, go. Jonah said, no. God said, whoa. And Jonah said, oh. Am I right about that? Jonah said, you know what? I'm not doing it, God. Sin brought on a terrible storm in his life. How bad was it? Some commentators think if you read Job chapter 2 that maybe Jonah even died down in that whale's belly. Some people think he might have. Okay? I'm not there, but I've read some who do. That was a pretty rough storm. Okay? And there are storms of sin that come upon us, and they are very severe. Again, going on, letter C, the source of the storm. The source of the storm. Again, if I could just put it this way, sometimes the storms are our fault. Anybody with you on that? Okay? I mean, you can go to James chapter 1. Okay? You know, when you're tempted, don't blame it on God, but every man is tempted and drawn into sin by his own lust. And when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. LSD, if you're looking for it in the Bible. I come from a generation that LSD was a big thing. Is it big anymore? It was really big when I was a kid, LSD. Lust, sin, and death. Sometimes the storms are our own fault, is what we could say here. What are we going to do? We're sinners. We bring it upon ourselves. Again, when the storm's our own fault, sometimes the remedy is also in our hands to take care of it. We'd serve a big God. The mercies of God. Did we just sing a song? And when we do fall into sin and fall into a storm of our own making, we run into a God who said, if you confess, I'm faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Sometimes Satan sends the storm. Sometimes Satan's part of the storm here. I put down here, Satan will whip up a storm in your life to defeat you and drive you away from the Lord. He will do everything in his power to destroy you and your faith in God. Again, if you're looking for a book to read about that, it's the book of Job. You know what? Let me have him, and when I'm done with him, he will not want anything to do with you, God. And that was his whole plan, to take care of that. And sometimes Satan sends the storms. And again, they're pretty rough there, are they not, when he brings storms to our lives. Again, I understand the sovereignty and providence of God, but Satan sends the storm. Sometimes God sends the storm. Sometimes God sends the storm. Okay? Now, you got to make sure you understand the difference between Satan and God. Satan sends it to what? Destroy you and drive you further from God. God sends the storms not to destroy, but as we said before, to develop you and make you go closer to God. To get closer to God. Again, He disciplines us and He wants to draw us closer. He wants to draw us closer. That's what He's doing there. Sometimes He does it to teach us to trust Him. Teach us to trust Him. Okay? I just do it this way, and I'm jumping ahead, but I'll get to it later. Could you imagine if this story would repeat itself, and all of a sudden things are going real bad, and the disciples look at each other and say, hey, Peter, are you scared? And he says, you know what? I'm not. Why? Because he's sleeping in the back of the boat. I don't have to worry about anything. We're okay. This has happened before, and I learned to trust him. So we're not worried this time. When it's time, it'll take taken care of. Sometimes it's a little hard for us, is it not, again, to trust. But He teaches us. I've been through this before, and I saw God's hand, and God can get us out of it. Again, when God sends the storm, it's always to draw us closer. Draw us closer. Don't run away from God. Get closer to Him in the storms that He brings. So again, it was a storm of great danger. Number two, it was a night of great doubts. Great danger to great doubts. Again, I believe I could say this. The greatest storm that night was not on the Sea of Galilee. It was in the hearts of the disciples. It was in their hearts. And again, they had great doubts about whether we're going to make this through. The Savior's here. We don't know if we're going to make it. Again, I got a few things here. They doubted His care for them. I mean, they literally said it. What did they say? Carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care about us? Okay. Don't you care about us? Again, maybe some of the things, the harshest words that somebody could ever say to you is, you know, you don't care for me. You don't care about me. You don't care anything that happens to me. You know? And Jesus cares for them. Again, I put it this way, okay? They'd already been watching Jesus. If you read the book of Mark up to this point, they'd seen Jesus conquer devils, disease, and depravity in people. Okay? But you know what? Even seeing Him heal all these people and do all these miracles He was doing, again, they just didn't know if He cared about them. Oh, we saw what He does to other people. Does He really care about us? And again, they were looking basically at the situation. They weren't trusting the Savior. They were looking at the facts and not having faith and trusting in Jesus. So sometimes they doubted His care for them. Again, I believe number two, I'll put it this, they doubted His commitment. Okay, they doubted His commitment. Again, carest thou not that we perish? Okay, carest thou not that we perish? You're back there sleeping. You don't care what happens to us. We're not high on your priority list right now. You're not really committed to us, Jesus, because we're about ready to die here. Again, as Jesus said that. Now, again, as we put this down here, okay, it was Jesus who sent them out there in the first place. And He wasn't going to let anything happen to them. Again, they were just afraid that Jesus was going to let them die. Okay. By the way, I did look up a verse and did some little studies on it. Kind of came up with a neat verse. Hebrews 13:5. You don't need to look at it. It's probably the most famous promise in the Bible. What's the most famous promise in the Bible? I will never what? Leave thee nor forsake thee. I do know that the word leave and forsake are not exactly the same word. You might say, oh, they're synonymous. Not really. And the word leave in the Greek language basically has the idea of sinking. To sink. Okay? Sink. I will never let you what? Sink. Okay? And the word forsake has the idea of abandon. What's the last thing that you maybe hear on a ship that's gone down? Abandon ship. Jesus said, I will not let you sink. I will not abandon you. Kind of nautical terms, are they not? I will never let you sink. I will never leave you or forsake you. Again, let's go to the next thing. They doubted his comments. What did he tell them when he was done teaching? I showed a picture of the ship kind of sailing out there. What did he tell them? Again, if you go to chapter 4, again, look there at verse 35. Okay? The end of the thing. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, what's he say? Let's try to make it to the other side, guys. Let's see if we can get there. What did he tell them? Let's go to the other side. Let's go. We're going to go to the other side. Again, putting in a more paraphrase, guys, we're going to the other side right now. Again, they doubt his coming. I could probably put in here they doubted his word. Okay, that would probably be better. But I'm trying to alliterate, right? They doubted his word. Do you ever doubt God's word? Oh, I know what the Bible says, but wow. But we all do it. We all do it. Okay? I know we're in church and we're supposed to give the church Sunday school answer, right? Oh, I trust His Word. We sing songs about it, but there's times when troubles come and we say what? I know what the Bible says, but I don't think God can do anything but this one. Okay? You know? I tell people, I give you the illustration. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things I know. I remember the time that I basically said, God can't do anything about this. Okay? God can't do anything about this. And it was silly when we were in the middle of a big city. And we dropped my wife and my sister-in-law off at a restaurant, and Bob and I were going to go look for a parking lot, and it was looking like we were going to pay like $24 to park the car. And my wife said, as she got out of the car, I'm going to pray you find a place free to park. And I said, ain't going to happen. There is no place that God has in this city for us to park. I just kind of looked at her like, you silly woman. Okay? We know someone pulled around the thing here, a man was pulling out of a parking space, and my brother-in-law asked him, hey, are we allowed to park here? And he said, well, this is my private parking spot, but I'm going to be gone for 4 hours. Is what you're doing going to take less than 4 hours? And we're like, yeah. He said, well, then you can park here. Free. I didn't want to go back to the restaurant. Because I just said, God can't do anything here. I know what the Bible says. Call unto me and I will answer you, showing great mighty things that thou knowest not. I know it says that. I quote that verse. Okay? I made us quote it. Was it not one of our memory verses in the years gone by? God can do things. We doubt His word, don't we? We just doubt His word. Again, Jesus had already told these men what was going to happen. If they had believed His words, I wrote this down, they would have shouted in the face of that storm. We're not going down because Jesus said we're going to the other side. I know that Hudson Taylor, when he was on a ship bound for India, something happened up on a mast and none of the sailors wanted to go up there in the storm and fix it. Because they all knew that they'd probably lose their handhold and be cast into the sea, never to be seen again. And Hudson Taylor said, I'll go up there and fix it. And Hudson Taylor went up and fixed the rigging or whatever it was and came back down. And they said, how come? He said, because God told me I'm going to India. God told me I'm going to India. So I knew He wasn't going to throw me off that thing into the sea because that's where God wants me. That's faith, is it not? That's faith. I mean, we need to make sure we do not doubt God's word. Let's go on here then. It was a day of great discoveries. From great danger to great doubt to great discoveries. This is why this storm was brought by God. Because these men in the ship needed to learn some things. That's what the word great discoveries mean. They needed to see things. They needed to learn some things. Number one, they needed to learn more about the power of God. Even the winds and the sea, what's the last part of it? Obey Him. That's power. Okay? That is absolute power. I do not know what is the greatest power on the earth. Somewhere along the line, in my thinking, most people would have the word nuclear involved in it. Am I right about that? Nuclear power has got to be maybe one of the greatest powers on this earth. It's not, folks. It's the power of God. It's the greatest power on this earth, the power of God. Again, God is well able to protect us in the midst of a storm. Doesn't just have to be a storm, though. It can be a fiery furnace. Who am I speaking of? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shake the bed, make the bed, in the bed we go. Okay? My shack, your shack, a little bungalow. However you want to say it. Don't forget those guys. All right? We're not afraid, King. Because our God can save us in the middle of a fire. Years later, their friend was thrown where? Lion's den. How'd he do down there? He slept. And how many of you think he used one of those lions as a pillow? He slept down there. Okay? Because my God is more powerful than things that are really scary. My God is more powerful. I think we need to learn a lesson about the promises of God. You know what, guys? We are going to the other side. Okay? We are going to the other side. I said we're going to pass over. That's what I meant. That's what's going to happen. They learned about the promises of God. I think they learned something about the presence of the Lord. Okay? They learned something about the presence of the Lord. If I could put it this way, having Jesus in your life makes all the difference. Having him in your boat makes all the difference, does it not? However, I want to make sure you understand it. There is going to be another time they're out on the sea, and it whips up pretty good, I think, in Mark chapter 6, and he's not in the boat. Another lesson that needs to be learned. Jesus can even take care of you, finish it, when he's not there. Remember the one man came to Jesus, hey, my daughter's sick. If you just give the word, I know she'll be healed. And Jesus said, I've never seen that kind of faith in Israel. Because this man understood Jesus doesn't even need to be present to get the work done. But the presence of God, I tell people, again, as the young people just said, I forget how you said it. Who said it? Was it Sarah said it or Abby said it? God plus you or you plus God or God plus one? How did you say it? God plus one is all you need? Or what was it? Something like that. My saying is you and God make a majority. That was Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said that. You and God make a majority. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, 1 John 4:4. They need to learn something about the presence of God, and God can take care of them. And again, here's the one that I really stretched, okay? But I did come up with the word pedagogy, and the word pedagogy means teaching, okay? They learned a lesson about the teaching of the Lord here, okay? And basically what it is, sometimes we read the Bible, we know what it says, but we really haven't learned it, okay? And real learning, pedagogy, takes place when we not just know the facts, then we start to do what? Use them. Apply them. Okay? I mean, A squared plus B squared equals C squared. Pythagorean theorem, right? Have you ever used it in carpentry? All the time. Okay? All the time. And I remember we used to put on roofs. Used to work for Fred. Used to put on roofs. We'd put the Pythagorean theorem on to make sure those shingles went up the roof straight. Okay, A squared plus B squared equals C squared. You know what? You can take a test and you can figure out that 3 squared plus 4 squared equals 5 squared. But when you start using it in carpentry or somewhere, now you really learned it. Okay? It's the 3-4. Do carpenters call it the 3-4-5 principle? Because 3 squared, 4 squared, and 5 squared is equal. But then if you do like, 9, 16, and 25, and just keep working. The 3-4-5 principle. I'm really shining here, aren't I, guys? I'm really looking smart, aren't I? Okay, it all works, okay? It does. But again, we're talking about here. Sometimes we know what it says. Of course we know he heals people. Of course we know he casts out devils. We've seen him do it the last couple of years. We know what he can do. But now we're in the middle of a storm and what? I think we're dead. They knew the verses. Now we really know what they mean, and we've put them together here. So sometimes learning and reading is not enough. We have to experience. What did I hear one time? Some lessons are better felt than telt. Does that make sense? Felt than telt. You can talk to people all you want. They didn't get the message. Then when they finally experience it, now they've learned how it really works is what happens there. So again, so I believe that he sent a storm to educate his disciples. You can trust me. Oh, you've seen it. You've read about it. You heard it. Now you really know it. Again, he was teaching them about the peace of the Lord. Even in the middle of the storm, there's peace. Even in the middle of the storm, there's peace. Wouldn't that have been a perfect picture? Storm, water filling up the boat, everything going on, and you take a snapshot of the boat, and there's those 12 disciples just sitting there like, we got Jesus with us. It's okay. I'm at peace. Again, God gives peace, does he not? there's some tough times that are going to come. Again, if the Lord tarries, we're all going through the valley of the shadow of death. What's that trip going to be like for you? I hope it's a peaceful one. I hope it's peaceful. You know what? I've been around a lot of people who have died. You know what? One of the best things you can say about somebody is they gone out, they died peacefully. Peacefully. And these men were learning where peace comes from. It comes from Jesus, His presence, and again, just His Word. But again, here's the biggest one, okay? And this is what led me to the whole passage, okay? They learned something about Jesus. This is I think this is the goal of life. Getting to know Jesus and knowing Him better every day. Isn't there a song out there? I think we sing it for the men's retreat. Knowing You, Lord, knowing You. Did you sing it at camp this week? Knowing You, Lord, knowing You. We got to need. And these men learned. We learned something about this God that's unbelievable. You won't believe it. We learned that even the winds and the sea obey Him. Wow! The biggest forces we understand in this earth. And He commands them. Again, they learned about who He is. Again, He can control every puff of wind, puff on a pond. He can control every angry wave. And He can control every storm. I wrote down here, He's a good man to know. He can corral the waves, lasso the winds, and hogtie the storm. I'm trying to be poetic, okay? Peace be still. Do you know Jesus? That's the biggest lesson we can know. Do you know Jesus? And every day you need to learn a little bit more about Him. Let me finish with this illustration that I found, wrote it down, kept it in a computer. Never knew if I'd need it, but I fished it out this time. The conclusion. A young military officer and his young bride were married. They set out on a honeymoon voyage, and while they sailed, a violent storm began to beat against their vessel. The young bride became very frightened by the storm, but her new husband was not afraid. She became irritated with him because he wasn't afraid like she was. After a while, he took out his sword, pulled it out of its sheath, and put the point of the sword on the throat of his new bride. She looked at him and smiled. He said, "You're not afraid." She said, "Oh no, I'm not afraid of the sword when it's in the hands of the one who loves me." I thought that was pretty good. There's a lot of things that are going to come our way. I got a Savior who loves me. He's going to take care of me. I don't need to get all worried. And again, He sends these storms to develop me, not destroy me. We need to get to know Him better. If you say, "Well, I don't know God that well, well, get in your Bibles and learn about Him and how He takes care of people. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. He loves you. And even when storms come, even though we think He's asleep, things are okay. The boat's not going down. Father, I pray that You would help us to trust You. But Lord, more important, help us to know You better. Lord, to know You is life eternal. Lord, to know You is peace on this earth. And Lord, I pray that You would help us, again, to just realize Your grace, mercy, and love to us. And we're not enemies. Lord, when we were enemies, You did love us and sent Jesus to die for us. And now that You've died for us and we've received You as our Savior, we're in Your family. And how much more care You have for us. So, Lord, thank You for that love. Lord, if there's anybody here that doesn't know Christ, may they put their faith and trust in today. To whom the know is life eternal. But, Lord, also besides just saving our souls for eternity, You give us a great life here when we trust You. Thank You, Lord, for the storms of life that You guide us through. In Jesus' name.